for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it is that time of the week. It's the best Tuesday you've had a week. It's time for the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Little John, in studio with me today.
Matt Dixon.
All right.
Yep.
That's as fast as I'm going to talk to
you. I like it.
We'll see. So, welcome everybody to nearing the end of the year, December 10th, and I feel like we're running out of Tuesdays between now and 2025.
Yeah. Wow. So, another year in the books.
It's wild, right? But, and you know, there's all kinds of things we get to talk about here, but before the year is over, we're going to talk today a little bit about the checklist for what should you do before the year is over.
Yeah. Or what could you do starting in the new year that could help you out a little bit too?
Okay. So what could you do in the new year that would help you out? I don't know. Where do we start with this, Matt? We got all kinds of fun stuff here.
Well, and let's make it lighthearted. Let's not get too serious.
No,
because
we
need a little bit of
on this show.
We need a little bit of fun rolling into the new year, I think.
Here's the question for all of our listeners. Do these glasses make me look smarter?
Yeah, today. for the next hour, they do. Any other time in... No.
They look great on radio.
I like it.
So, what do you know?
Well, there's the obvious ones, right? You know, like, did you max out your IRA for the year?
You were already into, like, what are the things you're doing at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a whole bunch, too. We can go with this.
Oh, really? You've got more than two?
Well, you kind of end up with these. So, the end of the year, there's certain big picture items. And you know what really wags the dog? The IRS.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? I mean, that's the biggest thing on this.
Well, wasn't our last show, like, the tax show?
Like, yeah. Could be. Well, we know that taxes are a big part of the push in planning, mm-hmm. but it's a big part of the push at the end of the year because that's the deadline, right?
Yeah.
You have two significant deadlines, right? You have the calendar year end,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the date that taxes are due as the next one, because some things have to be done in the calendar year in order to count.
Have you ever, like, had a whoopsie where you're like, gosh dang it, the end of the year caught me and I just...
Oh, yeah.
You have.
Yeah. No, I've had some of those before. A big one for business owners is when the law changed during the there have been several tax law changes over the past, you know, 8-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the big ones was when the original Trump tax cuts came through, the tax changes, we'll call them. So businesses lost the ability to deduct their, I believe it was, state income taxes against their federal returns, or maybe it was federal against your state returns, whatever it was, but I think it was the other way around. And so there was a workaround where you had to write off the you could basically pay your federal taxes all at the end of the year, and then because of that, you could, or if you...
Oh, so were you late getting your taxes in?
Well, we just had some... issues. The bookkeeping was not completed, and so the numbers that we used, we missed some of the numbers.
So you had to go back and, like, fix it all later.
Couldn't fix it.
Oh,
the
really?
The deadline was passed. It was a...
Yikes.
It was a four... It wasn't a five-digit tax bill, but it was a four-digit tax bill that was closer to five than three.
Hmm.
So it was like a real tax bill for, like, swing and a miss on that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just... The learning curve is real. It was like the first or second year that it was going on, and there's a lot of stuff that was in flux.
Yeah.
So it was the qualified business income deduction was part of that process, and then it was the making sure to pay your, I'm pretty confident it's federal taxes in the year that they incurred so that they could be deducted against your state
mm-hmm.
taxes. Because it was kind of funky, right? There was a while when we weren't even sure we were going to be able to do that, and... Yeah, this is, by the way, we're not licensed tax pros, so
no.
We can't get super deep in the weeds on this. This is a, you know, go talk for your tax circumstance, you know, go work with your tax pro to figure this out. Or you see us after class and, you know, we talk individually with you on that stuff, but that's not for every listener to be like, you know what I got to go do.
Yeah.
But you do need to know the difference between deadlines of the calendar year and usually it's April 15 or whatever the tax deadline day is.
Is there any like deadlines around your FSA, your flexible spending account that, I mean, I know sometimes people need to use up some money, right, towards the end of the year.
Yeah, and so there's, you know, there's a couple different types of accounts, and as memory serves, I think the flexible spending account, which is part of a Section 125 cafeteria plan, is...
I love that you just pulled that out of there. Yeah. I couldn't have done that one.
I believe, well, so the cafeteria plan is this benefits package, and there's fewer of those floating around than there used to be, but it's this idea that you could sort of build your own, a little bit of your own benefit suite by what you choose to defer money into. And a flexible spending account was for healthcare, but the challenge is it's a use it or lose it event, right? So if you don't spend the money, it goes away the next year.
Right.
Different than a health savings account.
The HSA.
Instead of the FSA. HSA is, if you don't use it, it carries over, right? Mm-hmm. But the HSA has to have a high deductible health insurance plan in order to qualify to make contributions to the HSA. So there's all these other elements at play here, right?
Yeah.
And what is, again, wagging this whole doggone thing?
End of the
year. Taxes, right? Yeah. And so the end of the year issue is those accounts typically have to be funded in the year of,
mm-hmm.
right? In the calendar year. So your FSA or your HSA funding or for the FSA, the withdrawals typically have to occur in the year of.
Yeah. Okay? There's a lot of things out there, end of the year stuff, Roth conversions, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that stuff.
Well, and so Roth conversions, less of an issue per se, but I mean, that's true. Like you can convert in whenever you want, but your relevant taxes are it's the income for the calendar year is what affects your Roth conversion and how it is going to apply income in the conversion process.
Yeah.
The reason that I tell you that there's another deadline, though, is because there's some accounts, so certain employer accounts, like a 401k account, I think you actually have until January 30th to make contributions for the month of December.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's the payroll period is for the previous month, but if it doesn't pay until the end of the month, it still gets to count. So that's just kind of a weird idiosyncrasy. The same for, I believe, simple IRAs do that. SEP IRAs and traditional or Roth IRAs, typically it's tax deadline for the prior year.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some unique elements at play here. And now you see why it's like, well, don't wait until December 30th or 31st to do this.
Get it done.
Like, it's the 10th. You're already late. Start doing this stuff now.
Yeah.
But there are other elements at play, like tax loss harvesting. Right?
That's a good one. Yeah, right? I was actually looking at that today. It's been a weird year, though, because I was looking in some accounts, and I'm like, you know, let's find something for some tax loss harvesting. And
there's not always a lot to harvest.
No, not on a year like this year where, you know, stocks have gone crazy and up. And it's like, well, maybe I can't sell something at a loss and harvest
that.
Well,
and keep in mind, tax loss harvesting is this way to sort of say, like, hey, we're going to make lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you got lemons. Right. Losses on paper are not what we want to see.
Right.
But the question is, can we use those losses to offset gains and improve our tax disposition?
Yeah.
So the idea is you sell something and then you don't immediately buy it back. You wait for more than 30 days, because if you buy it back in the next 30 days, it's considered what they call a wash sale.
Yeah.
Right. But if you wait longer than that, you can buy the asset back, and if the price is still down, great. So you rebought it, but what you did was you took a loss on paper.
The unfortunate piece would be if the price went
up. Well, if the price goes up, then you know, you're going to buy it back at a higher point, and you're going to have missed some opportunity or some recovery if you were upside down.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a perfect solve, because if the price goes off and goes significantly higher from there, what you did was you reestablished a lower cost basis.
Mm-hmm.
So the gain will come later, but in the short term, you can use that loss and you can take it and then use it to offset gains somewhere else, and it will reduce your capital gains liability.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, all of this stuff not to be considered tax advice. We're just talking about how this stuff works generically. And this is why we do planning, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you're looking like, God, that's a crap ton of moving parts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it really is.
It's a lot to think about.
A lot of moving
it's a
parts.
Long checklist. And I think that's one of the benefits of sometimes having someone in your corner or subbing that out.
Sure.
Where it's like, you know what? I was Christmas shopping and dealing with family stuff and had to get the ham, and I forgot to do all the financial stuff. Oh, wait, I had a professional handling this for me behind the scenes.
It's just, I mean, everybody, I think if you do it long enough, it's like, oh, I, you know, made cornbread and forgot to put the sugar in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, it tastes like, you know, dirt now. It's, yeah. Like, it's just not as good, right? Well, there is just, you get overwhelmed details. And if you don't have the other checks and balances in your system, it may go unchecked.
Right.
And then, you know, you miss out. So those are real.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real issue. So anyway, I think those are several of those year-end things.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a chance to kind of position where you want to be, too. A lot of folks don't think about this, but if you're in a business where you can choose when to take income, right? Do you want to take it in the current year, push it into the next year? You may, or you may want to accelerate some expenses into this year or you know, defer them into the following year. What you're in effect doing, I use this simple term, is you're bullying your tax rate. You're trying to move it around. Like, let me push it around. I'm going to pull it forward or push it backwards to do a different time with the goal of lowering your effective tax rate over a multiple year period.
Yeah. So maybe a good time to buy something that's needed for the business.
Could be.
Yeah.
Right?
Possible.
There's times that this gets people in trouble because you'll see some YouTube schmuck out there saying, go buy a truck that weighs more than 6,000 pounds. You can write the whole thing off even if you're not using it. And it's like, so that's an incomplete picture, right?
Maybe. Do you care to elaborate on why?
Well, because there has to be a legitimate business use. It does need mm-hmm. to be placed into service. So you need the asset needs to qualify in order to do those things. But it's not that the information was wrong. It's that it wasn't fully contextualized, right? Like, we can give you all of the information. We gave you enough to sound like a pretty good sell and didn't warn you about any of the gotchas.
Mm.
And so that's the part where I hate that kind of like garbage YouTube advice where people just throw out, oh, you can do whatever you want here. It's like, no, you really can't. The IRS is not idiots, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, you may not like them. And you may actually find agents that don't have a knowledge in this subject, but it wasn't designed by a bunch of idiots automatically.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, it's kind of worse than that. Usually they're kind of clever about, like, yeah, you can't just say you did something that you didn't really do and think that you're going to get away with it and escape taxes, right?
Yeah.
In fact, we have a word for that sometimes. Starts with an F, ends in a rod. So, so yeah, that's right. Fraud people. That's not what we want to do.
No.
Anyway, so there you go. End of the year. That's where I would get us started in on this segment. I mean, is there other stuff on our list, Matt? What else do you think in the year?
Well, how about we take a little bit of a break? And when we come back, why don't we talk about maybe a gift you might be able to give the family that's better than anything you might even find underneath the tree?
I don't even know what he means.
Okay.
But that's the signal. We'll take a break. When we come back, I know you guys are dying to know. Heck, I'm dying to know
what is
Matt's
this gift?
Talking about. Yeah. I'm like, what kind of gift? And if we don't wrap it, all right. Well, we'll speak in riddles. Stick around and we'll answer them. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Like, I might not say it, but I'm not you.
But, you know, I'm a loose cannon, David. We know this. Anyone that's listened to this show long enough can probably, like, affirm that. They're like, you know what? Matt just says stuff, and then David's over there like, no. Like,
I don't know if I have to unwind that somehow or not.
All right.
So welcome back to the True Wealth Show, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn, but also with me in studio...
Over 3 years now, David.
I know.
Isn't this wild?
It's almost easier to say, maybe Matt's the host and I'm along for the ride now.
I don't think we're there yet. You're going to have to get a few more gray hairs and maybe like stomp on your feet a few times so that you have to walk with a limp, then maybe we'll put you in the guest chair. How about that? I think you've got a number of good years still in the chair.
You think that? So maybe there's gas in the tank.
You're not arthritic yet.
I still like to say like, hey, you know, the kid's coming on strong here. We just need to train you up on, you know, cafeteria plans and you'll be fine. You just randomly pull some code out of the ether and be like, well, what does that mean?
This environment we live in, this financial planning, investments, it's its own language, really.
Yeah. Well, like, and it's possible to fake people out, just so you know. Like, here's some easy ones, right?
Oh, we used to do this, remember? So like a year ago when we were
Section 125 plans, blah. Okay. Or if you were to say, Section 179 accelerated depreciation, blah. Right? Because what is that? Those are the two. So the cafeteria plans, health insurance, just everybody knows. Okay. I mean, that's what it does. It fits in the health insurance arena and business benefits arena, right? But 179 is like everybody likes to stomp about this because it's a section of the tax code, but they literally name it that for accelerated depreciation of certain items, right? So the section 179 describes it. It's just like a 529 plan, right? That's the tax code for college savings plans, 529.
Yeah.
401k, that's the tax code for the retirement plans. And there's a whole series of 400s. Right? The 403B, the 401K, the 412I, right? There's these different goofy names for them. But if you rattle it off and nobody knows what you're talking about, they're just like, oh my gosh, they're like a dictionary of tax codes. It's like, no, really not. Just the ones that are named.
We kind of sound like lawyers or something. It's like, what are they referencing? It's like, not as complicated as you might think.
It sounds like a football quarterback. It's like, blue 42, 16, Minnesota, go! You're like, what?
I mean, and the crazy thing is, it really takes a couple years to be able to actually speak these tongues that we speak in.
It's, you know, I joke because it's just like baffle people with BS. And that's why we do this show, is to just deconstruct it.
You know what's even more sad is we actually really enjoy this stuff.
Well, the financials is awesome.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting. But, I mean, for everybody listening, like, the jargon is lame, right? But making it work for you,
that is the cool part.
It's really cool. If you start to, like, every now and then we have, like, some aha moments with like, customers.
Justin and I were talking about this. It's like solving a puzzle, right?
Yes.
Like, there's all these pieces everywhere, and it's like, can you figure out how to put them all together and do it efficiently?
Well, yes. And what I love about it is, that's not necessarily one solution. And sometimes it's not the obvious solution. Every now and then we do something that is using an ordinary tool in an extraordinary way.
Mm-hmm.
And the result ends up being more clever, right?
Yeah.
And that to me is part of the magic of good planning is, you know, I think we were talking with customers at one point about using an accelerated gifting strategy in order to intentionally drive their income down so that they could convert more Roth IRA.
Yeah.
You know, and there are some elements at play there. You can't pick an infinity size number and do it. There are some parameters you got to stick within. But it was a really useful strategy to deploy in this circumstance,
mm-hmm.
right? It was uniquely personal to the customer. So it wasn't going to be a one size fits all, but it's also going to be something where I don't think artificial intelligence conjures something like that up.
It doesn't. And what's weird is artificial intelligence seems to be getting worse. I use it all the time, and I got so frustrated with it the other day. I'm just like, I'm not using this anymore. It's not even close to what I need it to do.
The worst challenge to me is, one, it's learning from the input of the masses now. And I wonder if that just suggests that the masses are, you know, bringing its IQ down.
100%.
But the other issue is, and you've pointed this out to me, it's developing a habit of being a little lazy.
100%.
And you know, I don't know if that's because, well, it's power hungry, and so now they're starting to train it to,
power consumption.
I don't know if you say this on the radio, but I'm going to. It's like, hey, tell it to half-ass a little bit more and see if they give up on asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, no, go do your homework. And it's like, okay. And it finally goes back and does it. But you, like, have to kind of parent AI now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obnoxious.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Like, did AI become a teenager already? Are we watching its own evolution? It's like, well, you know, it started as this really chipper crowd pleaser, and now it's like a teenager. Pretty soon it's going to get all cranky with you and be like, get off my lawn.
So 95 years from now, it actually croaks. Like AI just like, kills itself like, off.
I give, yeah. I
Too
can't go on.
Much energy consumption.
Oh, no. No.
We wonder, you know how like 10, 20 years ago, everyone's like, how does the internet actually die? Like, because it's like, it seems like it's this unkillable thing. The internet is now here. We can't kill it off. I think there's even a South Park episode about this. But what if AI is the one that actually takes the internet down? It's like, it gets so, you know, grumpy with having to answer.
AI goes Fight Club on us.
Yeah.
Just like, we're going to start over. Uh-huh. Like, oh, man.
What killed the internet? AI. Wow. Where did we leave listeners off, though?
Present under the tree that isn't wrapped?
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
See, this time you did it, so I had to remember.
Thank you.
What is this thing you're talking about?
Estate planning. That's something that you can start to kind of look at maybe tying up. That could be your little gift to the family. Because you know what no one really likes to do? Fight over things when people are gone.
This is so not the present I was expecting.
This, is it a huge letdown?
I feel like in the Dickens Christmas story, like the Christmas future ghost, but like we didn't get past that segment. It was like, this is the Christmas future. And it's like, oh, it looks bleak. And it's like, we'll keep talking about it until I say so.
Well, think about it like this. You could get a trust, wrap it up, put it underneath the tree and be like, hey, everyone, you don't have to deal with the court system when I'm gone. That seems like a pretty nice gift, right?
That's the kind of gift only a financial advisor can conjure up. Like, here, open this up. And they all look at it and go, thanks?
What? David, what would be something like kind of funny or like unique that you might like if you're writing a trust for yourself? Like, can you think of anything where, you know, you might do something like
well,
a little
one-off?
You can
name it really funny stuff, for one.
Have you ever had
Yes.
Yeah? You've seen that happen?
Yes. I've had some fun names. In fact, I won't give the name of the trust, but
yeah. Breach of
I had clients at one time that wanted, I mean, they used a different language, and it was like, it was a funny thing, and then we translated it, and
so there's like hidden meaning in the name of the trust?
Yeah, and it wasn't outrageous, but it was just kind of clever and a little bit silly, and they had fun with it because you can, right?
Yeah.
If you wanted to name... I have a funny story about name. It's not a trust, but it's an entity, like a funny personal story. We were going to create an entity, and I wanted to register it as Evil Corporation.
Like actually do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Really try to do it. And evidently, you can't put corporation in the name.
Oh.
And somebody had, I think, already had like Evil Inc. or something like that. So I was like, eh. But yeah, I wanted Evil Corporation because, you know, everybody's always like, oh, corporations are evil. So I'm like, perfect. Let me have Evil Corporation and just that.
Own it. Yeah. There you go.
So it's like a funny story. But back in college, when Netflix hadn't started yet, I registered eFlix. Like I was like, I did research and I was like, I think it'd be cool. You should start an online streaming service. I didn't know how to do it and ran out of gas and, you know, had done research on online servers and stuff, but didn't know how to get the content. And I just kind of gave up. And then Netflix exists. And now I'm like, well, I'm a slacker.
Have you ever seen Parks and Recreation, Ron Swanson's will? It's like a handwritten note on a piece of paper that he put in his wallet. And it's like, to the man who managed to kill me, you now get all of my possessions. You are a superior man than I am. It's like, I think it'd be funny to put something like that in your trust where it's like, if you manage to kill me, you get my snowmobiles.
Yes. Well, I have one. You know, there's an heirloom vehicle in the family, and we have a different circumstance that I'll just kind of fess up on air. Like, I have my wills and everything in place, and the wills create a trust, but we're probably going to change that and have a trust instead of doing it.
Why might someone actually do that, just out of curiosity for people listening?
This was sort of pre-COVID when we initially did this, and the probate process was a lot more streamlined and less exotic, and we had fewer assets. You know, my wife and I were much earlier in our marriage, and so things were more simple. And so we didn't need a whole bunch of fancy. So a will accomplished it. And having trust provisions in the will gave us the flexibility of creating one if it was needed, but mm-hmm. not creating it if it wasn't needed. But it still went through probate. Today, we have a much more complicated organization with business ownership and multiple layers of LLCs and so forth. It's just the kind of stuff that comes with growing in sophistication and what you do. And so coordinating a trust that talks to entities and coordinates with the operating agreement so that they're all in agreement and manages ownership and taxation and so forth, it just layers more and more into it. But that's the boring stuff. What's the cool stuff?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, when he was, you know, back in 1968, bought a Camaro convertible.
Okay.
A 68 Camaro convertible that has been in the family ever since. So he was the original purchaser, and it has gone throughout my cousins and my father and my uncle. And so a whole bunch of Little Johns, and it's landed in my care. And it has been titled in the name of a Little John since its inception now.
Hmm.
And I don't think it's ever getting sold. It's actually a listed asset in my estate that says, okay, well, if I die, then it goes to the next, there's a list of the next living male heirs. And it always sounds sexist, but I'm like, well, it's because the rule is that it stays registered in the Little John name.
Ah, okay.
It actually wasn't intended to be sexist at all. You know, it was just intended to be like, well, here you go. Plus, none of my kids can drive a stick shift. So
they're automatically out.
Making it in.
Yeah. David, that's your next homework assignment. So we're about to talk about goals for 2025.
Yeah, so if my daughters learn how to drive a stick shift, then you might be able to amend it. Yes.
And whoever they marry has to change their last name.
There you go.
Just because of the Camaro. It's like,
no, you're going to have a DBA or something so you don't have to change the name. There you go.
I like that.
That's funny.
Okay.
So anyway, that's goofy stuff. People, we talk about trust all the time on this show, though. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as would I put it under a tree? I don't know. I mean, like, it's weird, but at the same time, it's less weird than I think.
Right. Because imagine, like, the stress relief, right? Where it's like,
I mean, it's a genuine gift. Like, if you've ever been responsible for settling somebody's estate, you know that organization is a gift. If you've had a disorganized estate, you know what a burden that is.
Well, that, and what if the estate, you know, is a couple million dollars or something and there wasn't a trust, and then the heirs now have to pay a $100,000 tax bill potentially.
Right. Or like potentially more than that.
Or even, more, so. Yeah. So it's like, well, the, you know, $2,000 or whatever that you spent on your trust saved you $100,000. I think the heirs would look at that and be like, you just put $98,000 underneath the Christmas tree. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
now I realize, hey, are we supposed to, we just had the one break. Do we need to?
I don't know. What time is it?
Jeez. It's time. I mean,
Well, how about this? When we get back, why don't we talk about some of the weird financial traditions?
Okay. Financial traditions. I might sneak in one special. If you hear estate plan and you don't even know what that means, I might define it in like really layman's terms.
Okay.
All right. But others fun too. So stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Yeah, True Wealth. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The switch, David.
Yeah, we'll close it. All right, not the subject for the rest of the radio
But
show.
Guess what? You did flip the real switch
over
there.
Yeah, we're back
on.
We're back on. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Remember, if you are just getting caught up, there are a couple things. One, it'll be available via podcast. And this one is filmed and may find its way back onto, I still say filmed, it's being recorded. And it may find its way onto YouTube, in which case you may even get some of the during the break commentary, which is a whole nother element to the show.
Have you ever considered that maybe you become famous after your death? Like one of these famous artists or something. It's like, you know, maybe a couple thousand people listen to you while you were alive, but then you die and then you become massively famous because you are outlived on YouTube.
No.
Well, ponder that one.
Like, not, I think we are interesting in the novel's sake. I mean, like, I don't know why Joe Rogan's any more interesting than we are, but he's way more popular and seems to have the pull to get really cool people in.
Think about it. He smokes and uses expletives. That's all you got to do, right?
Yeah, I guess if we could use expletives, then it wouldn't change the show much, but whatever. It's not really our style. I'm not going to say I'll never use an expletive here and there, but it's not
that. It's pretty hard to do on the radio if you like to keep your money.
Yeah, well, apparently the, the whoever the airwave guys, the FCC, it's frowned upon.
Yeah. I think, honestly,
to the tune of like $250,000 fines. I'm like, it's really frowned upon.
Here's why I think Joe Rogan's popular, and this is just my stab at it. I think it's because he doesn't get like real radical on any one side, and he keeps a pretty open mind. And if someone wants to say something pretty outrageous, he'll go along with it to see where it ends up. And then that's how you get the really cool stories. It's like, how did they get there? Well, Rogan just kind of went with it, and it just like it exploded into something that can go viral.
I do appreciate his ability to kind of empathize with the character when he says, well, you know, maybe it's just something like this happens, and they kind of go down this path, and before they know it, they're just sort of there. He has a way of seeing a bit of a human side of a person rather than just torpedoing them for politics.
Well,
right?
And then occasionally he torpedoes people, and then that gets even more views too.
Well, yeah.
It's rare. Yeah. He doesn't do it very often, but when he does, it's like, Rogan finally went off.
By the time he does something like that, it's because
they kind of had it coming.
Really got their hand in the cookie jar. And it's like, guys, enough already. Like, we've been trying to cover for you.
That's
and you've
typically
been a liar,
what it is.
Right? And so it's like, whatever. You did it yourself.
Yeah.
And people do seem to love a certain amount of, like, the you know, justice being served.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, the internet's. I'm amazed at how we're really getting burnt out on I'll just call it the fake sunshine. Like, somebody just gaslights you. They just lie about something, and then it comes out later that it was full-blown lie. You know, the whole thing, like, Biden stepping in it by pardoning his son.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been way easier all along if he just said, like, I'm just going to avoid the question. Well, are you going to pardon your son? No, he ought to serve justice. It's like, I'm going to pardon him. I'm going to write it so broadly that nobody can go after him. It's like, you think?
Well, think about it. I think that's how a lot of these people get famous, is they just say exactly whatever it is that they think, and they're super unapologetic for it. Like Dana White, Joe Rogan. These guys will go up there and say whatever they want. Trump's the same way. Like, if you just go up there and speak your mind and you don't care what anyone thinks, people like that. It's authentic. And I think that's where we're at a turning point.
Authentic is kind of there.
Yeah.
And I get it, right? I mean, but also I think the same reason, like last week, we kind of said, we just laid it out there and said, you can't avoid the stewardship theme in what we talk about.
Nope.
Right? Like, we just can't. Like, we can pretend that faith isn't a component that informs what we do, but that's stupid because it's not real. Mm-hmm. Like, it is part of how we operate. And it's not to beat you over the head and say you have to think the way we are. It's to say, well, you still understand where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, hey, let's get back to where we were at here. Before the break, I did want to say, we were talking a little bit about estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we said earlier, you kind of baffle people with BS, right? This estate planning has a little bit of that tone to it, right? It's like, ooh, estate sounds fancy, right? It's like, and you
it's where you hold your pinky finger up when you drink your tea.
Exactly, right? Estate is like, oh, I'm picturing the southern plantation and, you know, all the events.
You look like the guy from KFC, the colonel. Yeah.
Exactly. Aha. Well, so the estate is just the legal term for it. But if I just called it like, hey,
all
what
of your
if we
crap.
Wanted to make sure that all of your stuff goes to the people that you want to get it, and we do it as tax efficiently as possible? So, like, we're going to give as little to the IRS or to the state as you need to, right? Not breaking the law, but just saying, don't voluntarily give extra.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let that go
you're not
to
like
other people.
Figuring out ways to rip the government off. You're just figuring out, like, how to keep the most that you can, which is just smart.
Like, this throws people, like, I'll give you a real example. This throws folks off. I'll be the first person to say, look, if there is part of the welfare system that's available to you, use it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then people say, but you're sitting there on the other side of your mouth complaining about a failed welfare state. I said, well, there are two actually different things. One of them is use the law appropriately to your advantage. The other is that's a badly written law. We should fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's until it's fixed, use it to your advantage because that's the way the system operates. It's like, well, so you're saying use the system if the system is bad? Like, yes.
Yeah.
Everybody else will, and that doesn't make it okay. What it means is you should be motivated to make it right, but you should not be too proud to use it to your benefit, because sometimes doing that is what points out the hypocrisy in the system and why it needs to be changed in the first place.
True.
Okay? So, but let's just not pretend that it's, like, just because you're able to do it, let's not pretend that that's a good thing. I'm just saying it is legal. You are allowed to. I don't think there's a breach of ethics in using the system as it was designed. The question is, was the system properly designed?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay? So, yeah, it's not me talking out of both sides of my mouth. It is me trying to say, we should always be trying to make the system better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that doesn't mean that somebody using the system is exploiting the system if that's what the system was built to do.
Yeah.
But some jackwagon that built the system to be exploited, we have a different conversation about them, because I do think there are corrupt elements in the system, but I don't think the person using it is inherently corrupt because they're using the system as it was built.
Yeah.
Not inherently. Notice those words. So... All right, Matt.
Yeah. I've got a challenge for you.
Oh, hit me.
You like being challenged, too.
Do I?
Yeah.
I like the way you put that on me. Like, uh-huh. You like being challenged. Well, I'm like, I guess I do.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay.
Yeah, you love this type of thing. I mean, I look back to the, what was the name of that one challenge you did? Something hard.
75?
Yeah, that one. I mean, that was a really rough thing that you did, but you followed through. So here's your challenge. And maybe for listeners, you can try this challenge out for yourself.
Okay.
Because we were talking about, coming into this break, the quirky financial kind of trends or challenges that you can try.
Okay.
One of them is a no-spend January challenge. Now, it's not saying you can't spend any money, but you try and drastically reduce your spending for the month. And it makes sense, right? We're coming out of November, December. Christmas is expensive. So it's a good fresh start to the year. And how little money can you spend in January? The idea here is by doing that, you're going to have some money left over at the end of the month, hopefully. And then that money can kind of jumpstart a savings account or, you know, maybe a big vacation fund that you're trying to achieve. So eat out of the cabinets. Make sure that food doesn't go bad, but figure out some ways to save some money for the month.
Okay.
You were gluttonous in December. Revive yourself in January.
And so we talked a little bit about this before the show, and I was like, you ought to just have a sugar purge, you know? And so like everybody, maybe not the no spend thing, but how about walk into your pantry and throw all the trash out and try no rebuying it? There's a no spend on sugar, right? What would that do?
Sugar gets too, you know what? I'm tired of sugar getting a bad rap. I love sugar. I love pumpkin pie. I love coconut cream pie. And if you make it, I'm going to eat it. So I love my sugar.
Unless we put gluten in it.
Yeah, Cheyenne, if you're listening to this show, do not take David's advice. Leave all of the sugar in our house because I want to consume it.
It's a terrible idea, Matt. I say this because I love you.
Thank you.
It's a terrible idea.
Diabetes runs in the family, and I'm over here like, more sugar, please.
It's everywhere, right? It is so hard to get away from sugar because it's in so many of our processed foods. It's just hidden all over the place.
So are you saying you're not going to participate in our challenge?
I'm not. So don't spend in January?
Yeah, like... it would be interesting to see it as a percentage of like income. Like how much can you save in 1 month? Like, or not necessarily save, like how much can you cut your spending compared to your average? Like now your phone, like if you do a credit card or whatever, it tracks your monthly spending. You can see the average over the last 12 months. It's like, okay, well, if you're spending, you know, $5,000 a month on your credit card, can you take it down to $2,500 for the month? Yeah. Can you cut your spending in half?
So
it's always a fun
I'll
experiment.
Put it this way. How much could I cut my discretionary spending?
All of it.
Significantly.
Yeah.
But if you're like, you need to cut your cell phone bill, I'm like, well, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Right? I mean,
you
like.
You find a cheaper carrier, David. I did this with my home insurance the last month. Saved a bunch.
The insurance thing. That's the
discretionary
program.
The discretionary spending would be the first place I think you would start. If you only have 30 days, that's really the only place you can.
I could ratchet back significantly because I don't spend radically already. You know, when I do, I tend to do things that are kind of like, you know, goofy, it's like Christmas lights or something. You're like, wait, why did you spend hundreds of dollars on Christmas lights? Like, it had to be done, man. Okay. But
but see, that's the thing. We're allowed to be, you know, extravagant in November and December. Tis the season. January.
No, we're not allowed to do it. We just rationalize it.
It's a must.
I would say I got away with it because it was still within my budget capacity. Mm-hmm. But if it was not, then I wouldn't do those things, right?
Yes.
So that was the issue. All right, look.
We
ran so long on so many segments. We've got to take the last break. We're going to just take it, okay? We'll take the last break so that we can just run through the home stretch, and we'll still run out of time, but we'll cover the lottery ticket goal tracker.
Oh, wow. Fancy.
I got to know. Yes. I got to know what it means, Matt.
I'm ready
for
it.
All right, stick around. We'll be back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
No sugar, Matt.
Yes.
All right.
All
welcome
of the
back
sugar.
To the True Wealth Radio Show, where Matt is talking about his addictions.
Yes.
And we are on this home stretch talking about it's end of year stuff or mm-hmm. beginning of the next year.
Yep.
Everybody knows. Everybody doesn't know, but you should know. I love goal setting, and so there'll be a show where we harp on that, right? Probably next week it'll start to be like, get this thing wrapped up. And sometime at the end of this year, the 1st of January, it'll be like, you know what a guy could do? Or a gal. You could set written goals up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But anyway, so you said the no-spin January challenge.
Yeah, you were inquiring about this lottery ticket.
Lottery ticket,
yeah.
Goal tracker.
So basically the crux of this is anytime you hit a big financial milestone, like say you pay off your credit card debt, you're like, all right, we got that $7,000 taken care of. You go and you buy a lottery ticket. Just one. You don't go spend $300 on, but you get one lottery ticket.
Okay.
And you get to scratch it off. And if you win, congratulations, you know, that's an added bonus. And even if you don't win, you can reflect back on the fact that you did win because you achieved your goal. So it's just this
idea wouldn't work for me at all.
Really?
Yes. It has no attraction to me.
I think it would work for a lot of people because a lot of people.
I'm sure it would. It just tells you how like
weird
my wiring is.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that the reason this exists is because I think there's a bunch of people are like, I want to buy lottery tickets. And it's like a reward for finishing it. And I'm the guy that just, I don't do the reward thing very well. Like, if you put a reward in front of me and like somebody said, if you hit this sales goal, there's a trip to Hawaii on the line. And I'm like, don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
David, you are a broken, broken person. We need to study you. We need to put you on a couch and be like,
why? And it's not that I don't want to go to Hawaii, but that was never why I would want to sell something. For me, selling something, it's always been about like, does this benefit somebody? And if it does, then I'm not selling anything. I'm just connecting them with the thing they needed.
That's fair.
And so that's not what moves the needle for me at a spiritual level, right? Like it literally is not my purpose. And so the trip was like, there were times where I remember being in another organization based on like your production for the year.
Mm-hmm.
They ranked you and, you know, you get different sort of award status for it. And you didn't care, right? I wanted to kind of hit status because it felt like it meant the business was doing well, but that was different. That was a recognition thing. And this is so ridiculous too, because like I think it was Napoleon that said, it's amazing what men will do for ribbons, right? It's like they'll go out there and put their life on the line to get a stupid ribbon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is amazing. I think I might be that person. Like, so you mean a stupid ribbon over a trip to Hawaii? It's like, what's a metaphorical ribbon? I don't even need the ribbon, actually. Like, wait, so you'll do it for just a pat on the back? It's like, yeah, I'll probably wag my tail, too. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Well, we
it
all
doesn't
know.
Mean I won't take the trip to Hawaii, but it's just that's I wouldn't,
it's not
I wouldn't
gonna
try
motivate
harder
you.
For it.
Yeah, everyone's motivated in a different way, so I think that's fair.
Now, look, if my team got to go to Hawaii, I would try super hard.
Oh.
Because then it's not about me being selfish. It's about me somehow helping other people.
Mm.
So yeah. It's weird, right? But well, it's different attitude about it.
It is. David, have you ever heard of like a financial vision board?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, and I've done this before.
Great Tell me exercise. About it. What you've done it, so
yes.
What have you learned since kind of doing that?
You know, the personal journey has been more than just the doing the vision board thing. Because originally vision boards were sort of a thing that you align with goal setting, right? And so the goal setting part is, oh, I want these things. And so let me put the vision of what it could look like on a physical board so that I'm reminded all the time of what this is. And so a lot of people, they do this to visualize and keep themselves motivated.
Did you have like scissors and like clip
yeah.
art? Oh, you,
yeah,
really?
You
full on did
magazines,
it.
Glue sticks, put it all on a big sheet of like, you know.
Can you tell me like what maybe like one or two of the things on there was?
Oh, there were things like, you know, beautiful ocean locations, right? You know, I wanted to be able to travel to like, I really love tropical areas. So like visiting tropical waters, that kind of stuff was on the list.
Okay.
And, you know, just some, it was a lot of luxury stuff. The vision board has changed a lot more now. It has more to do with,
well, when you're the CEO of a company that's got all these moving pieces, I imagine it does change.
It does, but it's just become more about how can we refine the message and help people in a different way. And I feel like if we could do that, a lot of those other locations and things take care of themselves. So the vision has evolved, but it did start there, and I think it's really valuable for.
I think we should do one for the firm, like the Little John actual business. Board where it's like, what do we want for our clients? And then put that on the board. That'd be kind of fun.
I love it. I'm looking at the clock, Matt. You're not going to believe it, but.
No way.
10 seconds. I guess, well, how do they reach us? If you want to talk about your vision, we can help. Give us a call at
541-375-0898.
All right. With that, we're out of time. So until next week, thanks for tuning in. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.